Hey, Anna, aren't you excited about the end of the world on September 23rd, 2017?
That already happened.
Oh.
Not the end of the world, the date.
The date. Oh, right. Oh, I thought it was supposed to end. The world was supposed to end. All the things were going to line up. The sun was going to be in Virgo.
So
and the moon
about
was.
It?
Well, I guess I just got my hopes up. But it didn't happen, did it?
No, we're still here.
Oh, my gosh. We survived another doomsday hoax.
How did we do that? Oh, my
this
gosh.
This is a miracle. It's a total miracle.
A new lease on life.
I know. From the studios of Cincinnati Public Radio, this is Looking Up. I'm Dean Regas, astronomer for the Cincinnati Observatory.
And I'm Anna Heeman. And while Dean's looking up, I help bring astronomy down to Earth with lots of questions. In this episode, we'll talk about space hoaxes, all those doomsday predictions, and the great astronomy stories of 2017 with blogger, teacher, scientist, astronomer, and Twitter celebrity Phil Plait, the bad astronomer.
Man, we got a big show.
We do have a big show. Lots happening.
So where do you want to start with your doomsdays and hoaxes?
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you, as an active Facebooker, I am sort of like the one, I want to say shooting down, but really I'm reassuring everybody that these hoaxes, they're not happening.
Oh, yeah.
Now that I'm an official, ish astronomer type person.
I know, you have to answer the phones too. Like, the phones are ringing off the hook whenever doomsdays are coming, and we have to be prepared to reassure the public.
Exactly. We are making them feel safe, making them, but also sometimes it isn't doomsday stuff.
No.
And it makes me a little annoyed. Like, there was one that was like, oh my gosh, the Mars and the moon are going to be the same size and they're going to be side by side. And I'm like, you know, if somebody just asked me that, I'd be like, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's incorrect. I'm just going to like, without researching it, right?
See, that's good to have a sense of common sense to it. Right. Yeah. The moon and Mars, if they were the same size in the sky, it would be devastating to the Earth, first of all. But the moon would have to be, or the Mars would have to be so much closer to us. But that is a common hoax that they think that the moon and Mars will be the same size. Every August 27th, they always say that. But luckily, that hoax is slowly dying out, thankfully. But what other ones you got that kind of get you?
Oh, my gosh. So, true or false, there's going to be 15 days of darkness this November.
15 days of
15
darkness.
15 days of just pure blackness.
Pure blackness. The sun will not rise.
The sun is taking a vacay.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be left in nuclear winter or whatever it is.
I mean, it is kind of gloomy in Cincinnati in November, but no, that is impossible.
And I see you're feeding. If I say that, like, they're going to be like, oh, he did say.
Good point. They can cut that, couldn't they? No. No, to have that happen, the Earth would have to stop rotating, you know, that the sun would not be shining on the Earth, or there would have to be a 15-day eclipse, which can't happen. We just had that eclipse.
If only.
And lasted 2.5 minutes. Mm. But no, that is something physically impossible to have the Earth stop spinning and the sun stop moving and the sun stop shining. Nope, not going to happen.
Well, fine. Okay, so those are ones that are that's just this year. That's just the ones I've seen.
Fine.
Okay,
that's fine. I convinced you.
Well, there's more. We have other stuff to debunk.
That's true. We got
more.
This is huge. Okay.
So I see a lot of my friends and I see a lot on different Facebook things and whatever, talking about Mercury in retrograde.
Oh, yeah, Mercury
and it's like
retrograde.
A cure-all. It's like, oh, sorry, Mercury must be in retrograde because this is, you know, life is crazy and I did this or that or whatever.
Yeah, that is a really good one because Mercury is almost always in retrograde. That's the best part about it. So Mercury's going around the sun. And it's the closest planet to the sun, so it goes the fastest. It goes around the sun in 88 days.
Okay.
And so to have a planet go in retrograde, what it means is it's going across the stars from our view. It looks like it's moving through the stars and it goes in one direction. Mm-hmm. Then it'll slow down and go the other direction. And so it looks like it's going backwards for a while. And that's retrograde. And it does it about...
It just threw it in reverse.
Yeah, it does it at least 3 times a year, sometimes more than that, depending on if you do the morning and the evening. I guess it'd be 6 times a year. So you can have Mercury in retrograde most of the time. And so it's a great thing to put on social media because it's technically true. It doesn't mean squat because the Mercury does that all the time.
Tell that to all the people on Facebook using that as like a thing.
Yeah. I had a friend whose mom was an astrologer. And she didn't believe it. This woman didn't believe it, but her mom used it as an excuse. Like, oh, I forgot the keys. Well, you know, I am a Taurus. She's like, I think my mom was an astrologer just for the excuses.
Oh, man.
I know. Isn't that good?
That is pretty good. I'm a Taurus, so I'm going to use that. There,
I guess that's why.
It explains my forgetfulness.
It does explain a lot.
You know the one that, okay, now I'm really on a tear here. Now I'm like, there's one that I saw that people act like is super legitimate, mm-hmm. and maybe you'll say that it is. I highly doubt it, though. Okay. It's called I'm using horns. You can't see this, but quotes. Dean can. Saturn return.
Saturn return.
Which
What's that?
Means that I had to look it up, but okay. it is astrology, which okay. I know astronomy and astrology are
yeah.
different.
Yeah, yeah.
It's supposed to be that when the planet Saturn returns to the same point in the sky it was when you were born.
Right, right.
And I guess it takes like 20 years or something?
Yeah, it's 29 years-ish to come back to the same spot again.
Okay.
And so it is, well, so this is, I think what happens is people read this and mm-hmm. You know who's big on this? James Albury, my co-host at Stargazers.
James believes this?
Well, he likes measuring his age in planetary orbits. So he's like 200-something years old on Mercury or something like that. I mean, it's ridiculous.
James.
But he was like telling me, he's like, you know, like, I kind of think like that Saturn thing, you know, like, you know, it's every 30 years Saturn comes back. So it's like when you're 30, you know, you've accomplished certain things and you can look back on your first 30 years. And then when you're 60, you can look back on those. And then when you're 90.
You won't remember any of it. Whatever.
That's right. And then he keeps thinking he's going to make it to 120. So I don't know. But oh you're God. Right. It doesn't. There's nothing astronomical
like,
to it, but it's one of those things. Yeah, there's nothing to it, but it is one of those convenient ages where, you know, like, you know, remember when you were 29 and...
What's that supposed to mean? Like it was so long ago?
Well, you know, if you can think back that long ago and... I mean, that just happened to me, so I just...
Just happened to you? That's a stretch.
I haven't gone through two Saturn orbits yet, so...
But neither have I.
That's right. But man, 29 was rough, man. That's
what
Saturn
I think.
Saturn did mess me up. That's for sure.
That's not Saturn's fault. It was your fault.
Oh.
I'm sorry. That's how I feel
about it. It was my choices that I made.
Saying that your 20s is a tumultuous time?
Well, 29
that's new information.
Wasn't very good.
Well, all the way up to that point, and then all of a sudden you're 29 facing the precipice that is 30.
I think that's what it is.
I think it must. And I'm just like, why is it that. And wouldn't it be, well, I guess it doesn't matter when you were born. If it's 20 years, right. It's 20 years, right?
Yeah.
I still think it's hooey.
Well, it is. You're right. I'm glad that you.
You were just kind of like giving it a little
I know,
like, wait
I
a minute.
I kind of gave it some credence, didn't
you were like thinking about it.
See, we flipped it. We flipped the script.
We did flip the script. Okay. Now, there's more. We could fill the whole time with this.
So the one that I wanted to talk about was a Nibiru. Mm-hmm. This is the mysterious planet that's going to come out of the darkness from deep within the solar system to destroy the Earth.
This sounds like a plot to a bad, bad movie.
It actually was the plot to a bad, bad science fiction novel written not too long ago.
Oh,
but, I guess it goes back a little ways. So,
oh, man.
So it was a totally fictional novel about mm-hmm. this rogue planet that was going to come destroy us. But it was picked up by people that thought it was real. Like there was this woman that read it and said, I believe this. This is actually going to happen. So she read a science fiction novel, thought it was going to be true.
Oh
my she
God.
Also thought that aliens were communicating with her, telling her it was true, and it was going to come and destroy the Earth in 2002. When, of course, it didn't destroy the Earth, because here we are. She said, well, okay, the aliens were a little fuzzy on the time. They said it's going to be soon. And since then, it still keeps coming back that people think this is going to happen. And there's doctored photographs. Mm-hmm. They think NASA's hiding it. They think that it's going to come back. And
oh my God.
It really boggles my mind because it's like thinking that, well, wait, we can hide a planet that's going to come destroy us. And wouldn't an astronomer, I mean, astronomers are really competitive. Like mm-hmm. if I discover this thing that's going to come hit the Earth, you better.
I'll never hear the end of it.
You better know. I'm going to tell people. I'm going to be like, yeah, my planet's coming. Just watch
that's
out.
Right. Regis 1 is coming.
I don't care if it's going to destroy the Earth, but it has my name on it. I guess that would be bad.
Wait a minute. Like, I don't want my.
I wouldn't want my name on it. But,
no.
But still, this is the...
You could pick your worst enemy, put their name on it.
Oh, yeah. James
Who's
Albury.
Who's going to stop?
Oh! James Albury, keep the comment.
James, I did not approve of that.
No, I'm just kidding. That's just a for instance.
Just a for instance. For instance. Just a, by the way.
Just kidding, James. But yeah, this keeps coming back and coming back. I thought it died in 2003, but people
really
think...
Yeah, how long has it been going? 2003?
Yeah.
And
it just keeps coming back. People are saying, why aren't you looking at Nibiru in the telescope, the observatory? It's like, because we can't find it. We can't find it. Yeah, it's really startling. I mean, this is just,
crazy.
There's so many of them. It's every year we have a doomsday that the world's going to end. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, no matter how many times I'm right and say, yeah, the world's not going to end, they still keep coming. They still keep coming.
Is this all about you being right?
That's part of it. That's true. I like being right, which is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, now that we're all warmed up on hoaxes and doomsday predictions, and if we're talking about this kind of stuff, ends of days and all that, well, there's nobody better to talk to about it than the man known as the bad astronomer, Phil Plait. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure. It's nice to talk to you all again.
So we know you as the bad astronomer, and so we're curious, how did that get started? How'd you get the name? And Anna was wondering about...
Is it bad like Michael Jackson or... Bad like Brussels sprouts.
It's actually German for bath. So
you're the bath astronomer. You are a very clean person. I didn't notice that. Yes, that's true.
I let's just say that my public-facing persona is not a sweary, dirty person, and I'll just leave it at that. But yeah, I've had that nickname a long time. It started because back in the 1990s, I started debunking astronomy stuff. And I was in 1993.
Oh,
I always have
goodness.
To think about that for a second because it was a lifetime ago.
24 years, Phil. 24 years.
I know.
Not that I'm counting.
That was kind of mean.
I know.
It's like I've had intelligent adult conversations with people who weren't born yet when I started writing on the web. And that's peculiar. But I was debunking myths and misconceptions, just things that people were saying, like you can stand an egg on end on the equinox, which is not something you hear that much about anymore. I take credit for destroying.
Yeah, you debunked that one. Good. I mean, that's
gone.
Might
as well. There's no reason. These things come and go. It's not like I had anything to do with it, but it's just one of those kind of things that people spread around, and it's not true. And so I think it's worth getting into them because first of all, it's fun. These rumors go around, and if you can use them to teach a little bit of science, like I had no idea how an egg was made inside of a chicken or how it came out. And it turns out it's a horrifying process, but now I know science. Hey,
well, that's another show. Probably eggs get made in chickens.
Yeah, and I know you also started with a lot of doomsday predictions. Do you have a favorite doomsday that never happened?
I don't want to choose amongst all of my doomsday children as one being the best.
You do get invested in them, don't you? I mean, all the it's really intense until the prophecy has been unfulfilled, right?
I don't know if I would say I'm invested in them so much as it's just a self-flagellating tendency on occasion for scientists to dip their toes into these things. That may be a mixed metaphor. these things come and go as well. We've had doomsday predictions of various flavors going back for thousands of years. Probably the most famous is, Revelation in the Bible. And that's actually what this most recent one is kind of based on, but it's really a variation of the same thing we have been seeing over and over again since the mid-20th century. Immanuel Velikovsky was this guy who basically said, in the Bible, there's all these disasters happening all the time to the Israelites. Maybe these were real events, and maybe I can tie science into the Bible. And the problem was the only thing worse than his archaeology and history was his astronomy.
He's a triple threat.
Bible screwed up his science. It was a mess, but it caught on. There's a whole story behind this, and this idea that he thought that basically Venus was ejected from Jupiter, bopped around the solar system, and caused all these biblical catastrophes. That has been changed over and over again, and now the latest incarnation is there's this planet out there called Nibiru, and it's on a 3,600 year orbit, and it swings by the Earth, and it causes cataclysms. And the thing is, it doesn't exist. It not only doesn't exist, it can't exist the way it's described. If it did, the solar system would be gone, destroyed. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we're here shows that this is all nonsense.
Whew, good. You're backing up what I just said. That's good. All
That's right. Yeah. Interesting.
So,
well, you're an astronomer, right?
So, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I like
probably going to agree on the basics.
That's true. That's true. But you've also been doing a whole lot of great, astronomy journalism lately and a lot of great articles. What do you think is the big story for 2017, astronomically speaking, at least outside the eclipse? What else was really big news this year that you like followed a lot?
Oh, holy cow. There's been a lot. We lost Cassini. Well, we didn't lose it. I mean, we know where it is. It's inside of Saturn.
We're
so
sad.
That's maybe the wrong
so
phrase. Yeah, I mean, this is a mission that orbited Saturn for almost 13 years and has, I don't even know how many pictures it returned, 300,000, something like that. And that's just pictures. It's not including telemetry and data, measurements and such like that. And it revolutionized everything we knew about Saturn. I mean, we probably learned as much about Saturn in the past, 13, 14 years as we learned in the past, 400 years since the telescope was first pointed at it. And not only that, but it was a touchstone for the public, right? I mean, these pictures were so staggeringly beautiful and so philosophically profound. Seeing the Earth hanging in the background of a picture of Saturn underneath the rings, tucked between the rings and the planet. How can you look at that and not be moved? And so the public was probably more aware of the Cassini mission than any other mission we've had except, Hubble and Apollo.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah. I know it really did catch on with so many people and, we're still mourning. We still have the RIP Cassini at the observatory, but,
that's true.
We tried to, who did we talk to? We tried to get them to continue it one more orbit.
We did. We talked to their deputy, director of the project.
They said no.
And yeah, he was like, but I mean,
one more orbit.
Yeah, that's
what exactly.
We said that one more, come on, one more time.
Exactly.
But,
it was,
sadly, it's the universal law of gravitation, and that's what you're bucking up against there. So probably not going to happen.
Yep. Oh well.
Sorry.
Well, we're trying to look forward despite the disappointment of having Cassini be over. So, is there anything that you're excited about that's coming up in 2018?
I'm looking forward actually to the Perseid meteor shower. The Perseid meteor shower next year is going to happen finally in August without the moon interfering with it. So that's going to be nice. Every time I try to see a good meteor shower here, it's either, and I live in Colorado, it's either cloudy or, 14 degrees below zero or the moon is full and you can't see anything. The launch of the James Webb Space Telescope is scheduled for 2018, although timely enough, I just heard today that it may get pushed back again to 2019.
Not pushed back again.
I don't know this is just a sort of an unsubstantiated thing that's been going around.
Oh, that's all we do here at this podcast.
Yeah, we just
unsubstantiate things. So this is perfect.
Up. Yeah.
Well, it was supposed to launch 10 years ago. I was at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center working on a Hubble camera back when this was called the Next Generation Space Telescope. It got its name changed to James Webb. And it was just, drawings on paper. And I did a few calculations for some of the folks there. And they were telling me, I want to say it was 2009. But I given how complicated the telescope itself is, let alone the cameras on board, I knew it was going to be delayed. I mean, everybody did. But this long that's difficult. I've been waiting a long time for this, and I'd like for it to get up there and work so that we can start discovering new things. I mean, Hubble's been doing great, but this telescope is far larger and is going to open up infrared astronomy like we've never had it before, be able to detect objects orbiting past Neptune, be able to see planets orbiting other stars. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see the images from it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to make Hubble look like nothing, I hope. I mean, that's what's been promised. But I'm just, excited that it's a go and they've invested. So it's ready. One other thing we want to ask you about was, you have a really huge social media following and
600,000 or something crazy
how
followers
in the world
on Twitter. They're just there for my goats.
Wait, you have goats?
Yeah, I have four dwarf and pygmy goats
as
pets.
What is happening? Are you serious?
Yeah, I put pictures of them up all the time, and every now and again somebody sends me a note. It's like, oh, you're an astronomer, and it's like, oh, I see. You were just following me because of my goats.
Phil, I'm coming out to see the goats. I really like animal pictures and videos, and I really want to come see these goats.
Well, now, wait a second. I got a new title: The Bad Astronomer. Come on, is that good? Is that good or what?
Lord, check please. All right. That was.
I've never heard that.
Are you serious?
Before. There's no way that's true.
And, you know, everybody says they want to come out and see him, and it's like, all right, but they just stand there and belch. That's kind of what they do.
That's what goats do.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Not, you know, it's not like as seen on TV, sadly enough.
Man. But they are.
But so
they sound cute.
Better than advertised, I guess. Yeah. Or wait, the
so
other
where were we?
Anyway,
social media followers.
Yeah, social media followers.
They're so, for the
goats. Oh yeah.
Outside of goats, how did you do it?
It's basically just being at the right place at the right time. It's kind of the same reason my blog is where it is now. It's just because I was one of the first ones out there when the web was young and shiny and not populated by trolls.
It's what just, was that like?
Yeah, that sounds nice.
You know, I don't remember. But it was just one of those things where it's like, oh, this Twitter thing, another social media thing. Great. Is this going to go the way of, was it Orkut? Oh my gosh. Anybody remember Orkut? There were all these social media platforms that came and went. I thought 140 characters and what is this useless thing? But I signed up and never really looked back. So, the easiest way to be popular on the web is to build a time machine and go back to like 1998. that would be easier, I think, than starting now.
We're so excited to be talking with you. And thanks so much. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always fun to talk to you.
Well, we've been talking with Phil Plate, blogger, scientist, teacher, debunker, and known worldwide as the Bad Astronomer. Find him on Twitter at Bad Astronomer.
Well, the Cincinnati Observatory has been around since the mid-1800s, so you can only imagine the letters and emails we've received in that time, and some have very interesting questions or beliefs or theories. And Dean, do you have one to share with us? It's appropriate. It's kind of the hoax show. I mean, what do you got for us?
Oh, man, I got so many to pick from, but the one that I thought was the best is the flat earthers. The people that believe that the earth is not a sphere, but it is a flat plane with edges that you could actually fall off of. And it is really amazing. Here we are in the year 2017, and there are people that believe this. I'm thinking of, and these are like famous semi-celebrities. We've got the basketball player Kyrie Irving saying this, he was like, well, I don't know if it's round or if it's flat. I don't know. And then Bob is doing it too. Who's the other guy?
B.O.B., Grandpa. B.O.B.
B.O.B.
Famous rapper.
Oh, is he?
Well, he was before he said the earth was flat.
Oh, well, see, that's the only part I know him for.
And he thinks it's like these people think there's like a conspiracy, right?
Right. So the thing, I'd love to just ask them like straight up questions like, so, okay, but I assume that the answer is they would think that those pictures of the earth taken from the Apollo missions were all fake, that it's like they just did some Photoshop in 1968 and did that. I don't know. What do they think about those pictures? But then somebody gave me this other idea. It's like, okay, so let's say Kyrie Irving. And I'm calling people out here. I mean,
yeah,
I'm
are we
not,
gonna get like tweets about this?
We can start some wars. Oh, this is fine. We can do some battles because I got science on my side. I don't know what they have. my advice would be to him is that if he really believes this, he has the money and the power and the ability to fly to the end of the earth, if there is such a thing.
Oh, like where it drops off, where it drops off.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great if he could like do an Instagram post from the end of the world where the ocean is falling into nothing and like he's like selfie at the end of the world?
Like a panorama shot? Yeah.
I would like to see him do that. If he really believes, put your jet money and go jet over there and take a selfie with you at the end of the world.
Are you trash talking Kyrie Irving right now?
Well, he has the ability.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. Why doesn't he just back it up?
Because he's very concerned. Is the world round or flat? Well, I think this is a great way he could find out, don't you think?
Or just look at a globe.
Well, there's that too. But it is amazing that some folks think, well, it looks flat outside, doesn't it?
I'm walking on flat Earth, so it must be flat.
It must be flat.
Earth. Okay.
Yes, but no, this is something that the ancient Greeks figured out a long time ago. In 350 BC, they figured out that the Earth is not flat. It is round because they watched the lunar eclipses happen. When the moon, when the Earth's shadow goes on the moon, they can actually see the Earth's shadow, and it's round. And so way back then, so over 2,000 years, we've known that the Earth is round. So I hope we can get past that one and move on and play some basketball and
do some rapping.
Do some rapping. And yeah, I think that's the really
actually
message.
I think BOB called out Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Did he really?
Yeah, that he was like NASA's puppet or something.
Wow.
He's really doubling down on this.
That is really shocking. I mean, it's like let's have some battles with the astrophysicists. Who picks on Neil deGrasse Tyson?
B.O.B. does.
B.O.B. does.
he's really all in.
Wow. Well, when you live in a flat Earth, I guess.
You need to work on your diss track.
Do I?
Yeah. Do you know what that is? Probably
no,
not.
I
yeah.
I don't know what that is. Is there? I don't know how that would work on this.
Just, you need to say a bunch of words to music and tell B.O.B. that he's wrong.
Okay. We'll work on that.
Next episode.
Next time. That's
absolutely
for sure.
Well, that's it for this episode of Looking Up. Thanks to Phil Plait, the bad astronomer, for joining us. Get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. We're on Twitter at Looking Up Podcast, or drop us a note at lookingup@wvxu.org.
You can ask us a question, give us a topic or a suggestion, or ask your kids what they'd like to ask an astronomer or scientist, and we might answer it on a future episode.
And remember to subscribe to Looking Up on iTunes and rate us there, or you can find us on Stitcher or at wvxu.org/lookingup. Our theme song and additional music is by Why, that's W-H-Y, from their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer, Josh Elstro is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provides additional technical assistance.
Thanks for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.